Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and nine-month FY23 earnings conference call of Pearl Global Industries Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallab Banerjee, MD of Pearl Global Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, everyone, and I welcome you all to our Q3, nine-month financial year 2023 earnings conference call. Along with me, we have the Group CFO, Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope all of you have gone through the investor presentation uploaded on the exchange and our website, company website. So, despite the tough market condition owing to inflationary pressure and the macroeconomic challenges, I am happy to state that we have been able to deliver a healthy top line and a bottom line. One of the major reasons for this is our global competitive advantage, keeping us at par with our global peers, I would say. We are present in eight different countries, having our manufacturing facilities and design offices. This multinational presence over more than a decade gives us this advantage and then leverage scale and react to the changing business needs at a faster pace. Contribution from a single country is not more than 35%. This mitigates our risk and dependence of any particular location. A diversified product offering with a robust design team ensures we have on-trend product basket available in a close proximity or the time zone of the customers that we have. This is, in turn, enhances the customer serviceability and the relationships. We have a long-standing relationship with our top five customers. Out of four out of these five are more than a decade old. Established offices with employees and design team in U.S., U.K., Spain, helps us service our customers much better. We do realize the importance of being an asset-light business model, and our consistent endeavor is to work on improving our return ratios, as you can see. Our ROCE has improved from 12.4% at the end of financial year  2022 to 22% in 9 months of the financial year 2023. This is calculated on a trailing basis, 12-month trailing basis. We are on our path to be a large manufacturing company with our base across the geographies, which gives us the platform to win diversified order contracts. Hence, despite these short-term challenges posed by the global slowdown at this point of time, we are still confident of achieving our vision on a longer-term basis. We are standing by our promise of improving our operating profitability and return ratios. We continue to work on maintaining the same momentum. Having said that, the cascading effect of the global sluggishness has led to a relative slowdown of the growth in our order book for the short term. Margins of the coming quarters would be suppressed when compared to the quarter of financial year 23, on account of this international and domestic slowdown that is still prevailing. We, however, anticipate that the margins for the full year to be a high single digit on account of improved efficiency and improved capacity utilization at all our facilities. With this, I would now hand over the call to Mr. Sanjay Gandhi, our Group CFO, who will run us through the financial performance of the company.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our quarter three, 9 months, financial year 23 earnings conference call. Coming to the financial and operational performance of the company, we have reported the highest ever 9 month performance. On a consolidated basis, 9 month FY 23 revenue increased by 34% year on year to rupees 2,428 crores on account of improved product mix, better realization per piece, improved capacity utilization from Bangladesh and Vietnam factories, and improved operational efficiency in Bangladesh. Also, from quarter 3, FY 23 onwards, the Alpha unit that we had acquired earlier this year has also been fully integrated. Overseas revenue continue to contribute 65% of the group revenue. On a consolidated basis, EBITDA for 9 months, FY 23 stood at rupees 193 crore, a growth of 91% year on year, while margins improved by 2.39% year on year from 5.5% in 9 months FY 22 to 7.9% in 9 months FY 23. Reasons for this improvement in margins were improved profitability in overseas operation led by consistent improved profitability in Vietnam operations, integration from Alpha acquisition, better product mix, and improved operational efficiency. Reported PBT for 9 month FY 23 was 120 crore and PAT stood at rupees 100 crore, a growth of 140% year on year. On a consolidated basis, revenue for quarter 3 FY 23 grew 2% to rupees 717 crore. EBITDA grew 71% from rupees 43 crore. Quarter 3 FY 23 margin stood at 10% versus 6% in quarter 3 FY 2022. Margin for next quarter may see a dip quarter on quarter owing to the slowdown in the order book. We would end this year with high single-digit margin, and our endeavor is to work on achieving a stable state double-digit margin in the medium to long term, supported by the stable global economic condition. PAT for quarter 3 FY 23 stood at rupees 37 crore, a growth of 120%. Coming to the standalone performance, revenue for 9 months FY 23 grew 42% year on year to rupees 829 crore, mainly due to a strong first half. Our EBITDA improved 79% year on year for 9 month FY 23 from rupees 27 crore to rupees 48 crore, mainly on account of operating leverage and improved operational efficiency. 9 months FY 23 reported PBT stood at rupees 32 crore, a growth of 61% year on year, and PAT for 9 months FY 23 stood at rupees 26 crore, a growth of 80% year on year. Going ahead in mid to long term, we are confident on the industry growth and we believe that our company is best placed to capture the larger pie of this opportunity. Thank you. We shall now open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nisarg Vakharia from NV Alpha Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen, and good job at the margins in this quarter. Sir, you have attributed the margin expansion to synergy benefits coming from your recent acquisition. But generally, those benefits come, below the gross margin level. And in this quarter, we have seen one of the highest gross margins. Just want to understand the sustainability of these gross margins.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. This is Sanjay Gandhi. So the margin improvement firstly is a combination of two, three factors. One is there is a continued improvement in Vietnam operations in quarter three, as we had witnessed in H1 of this financial year. Secondly, Bangladesh operations per se have shown considerable improvement when we compare year-on-year basis. Third, of course, is the Alpha unit which got integrated from this quarter onward. There has been a margin improvement. So these three largely are contributing to the marginal improvement.
So both, all these three categories are a better product mix than what we do otherwise, which would explain why the gross margins are higher.
Yeah. So it's a combination. If you see Vietnam, yes, we have seen a continued improvement in the product mix, and therefore realization per unit, which is FOB price, have almost 80% more consistently in all the three quarters. And we see that, you know, this trend to continue. Of course, there can be a macroeconomic environment in short term, which may have slight impact. But otherwise, we feel that, you know, with our factory already establishing those credentials of manufacturing all this high-end product with a higher realization and higher margin, the demand should continue for those factories. Secondly, the operational improvement, which has been there in Bangladesh, I think there is every reason for us to believe that operational efficiency, where we have already achieved, will continue to improve thereon. Third, as we discussed about the Alpha acquisition at the time, we mentioned that we will be targeting any brownfield acquisition or the major CapEx return on capital employed between 15%-20% in the first year, and in the next two, 3 years, stabilizing around 18%-20%. And we also mentioned Alpha acquisition will be revenue and EBITDA accretive from the first year itself. And this is where the operational efficiency of Alpha, and that's why we targeted that unit. And this, in the first year itself, we are able to get, return on capital employed in the range of 18%-20% for Alpha. And we believe that this should continue, as we mentioned that, you know, with global economic environment getting stabilized, I think the operational efficiency which we have already achieved, that should continue the trend. So in a way, with all the economic environment getting stabilized, there is every possibility for margin to sustain in our overseas operations.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Also, when I look at your 9-month performance in terms of top line, Y-on-Y, how much of that performance would you attribute to higher FOB prices due to elevated price of cotton, and how much of it is due to volume?
So, Mr. Bagaria, like what happens in our industry is that most of the customers that we're working with, we are doing season by season kind of booking of raw material and the product, and the price are finalized. So normally, if the raw material prices are going up, in general, the trend in the industry or that we follow is to pass that to the customer. Similarly, it goes the other way around as well. So
yes. So my question is that only, sir. That what is the reason of top line growth? If you can divide it into price and volume, what is the volume growth that we've had on a 9-month basis?
So volume growth, if you really see,
yes, publish that, yeah.
It's we are almost producing the and shipping the similar number of pieces, which is 40 million pieces. If you see our
9 month
presentation, yeah, on a 9 month basis, it's 40.7 million pieces against 40.1 million. So it's largely, you know, the volume basis, there is not much significant growth. However, the FOB price, because of the better product mix, secondly, the, you already mentioned about the cotton prices, raw material increasing, and that,
the first half of
that is the first half of the year, has also helped in terms of the revenue growth.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Vishal Prasad from EP Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have few questions. If I look at our history, probably starting from 2011 till now, in earlier 4-5 years, our margin used to be 2-1%. and suddenly it changed in 2014 to 2015, where revenues went down and margin went up. And then again, if I look at 2022, this sudden change in terms of doubling our revenue and significant improvement in profitability. So there is something changing in our organization, and if you could help me understand what is that, that would be great.
So maybe if we talk about the recent change, let us focus on that rather than focusing on what happened in 2014-15. I would say that since 2019, we have formulated a different strategy of growth in our organization. And yes, because of pandemic, we could not grow in the first 2 years. So that's why suddenly you saw some growth in the last year. And we would have continued to grow at a rate of 15%-20% cumulative. That's the goal that we continue to have. But current market condition is preventing that growth, as we just talked about, in terms of numbers of the volume. But yes, the tailwind that we have in terms of, or we had in the first half of the year of the raw material prices, as well as maybe from the foreign exchange and all. So all this combined, we are seeing, I would say, some amount of growth this year also. But that's the part of the strategy that we are working on. We have operations across various countries, as I just mentioned, and our vision is to be the good supply chain solution provider to all the retailers of the globe. And on that vision, we all continue to grow. We will have more geographical presence across the globe, where this industry or the manufacturing industry is providing a solution of the supply chain to the retailers. So that's the kind of vision on which Pearl is marching forward, and we will see this continue. Yes, most of the strategies were formulated in the year of 2019, I would say 1920, and that's execution you will continue to see over the next few years as well.
Sure. I mean, I was just looking at our transcripts of previous calls, and in both the calls that we have done, we have mentioned that we are present in two of the major supply chains of the apparels. Could you please help me understand what are these two supply chains, and are we trying to get into more supply chains going forward?
The four basic supply chains that is really thriving in our industry is, one is the Far East, I would say the Southeast Asia, which is your comprising of your China, Indonesia, Vietnam belt majorly. And that's the biggest supply chain at this point of time of apparel. If you take out the European one, which is Germany and other productions, they do a lot of high-value production. I'm talking about the mass merchandise where we prevail, or industry like us prevail. So there, the Southeast Asia is the biggest supply chain, followed by the South Asia, which is your India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Pakistan. And then the third one would be your Mediterranean region, where you've got Egypt, Turkey, your Italy and some of the other Mediterranean countries. And then you go to the Central America as a fourth supply chain. I would say these are the four big ones, which is where we are competing, the product mix that we are supplying. So this is the region. So yes, Pearl would have the vision to be on all these four supply chains in future. So that objective or that vision we continue with.
Okay. If we talk about Pearl and PDS, so there is some overlap in terms of customers that we have, especially in U.K. So are we directly competing with PDS, or there is a different focus and we do not directly compete?
PDS has got a different business model compared to our manufacturing model, what I understand. It's a different company, so I won't be able to comment about their vision or their goal. As long as competition, I would say we are competing with the global manufacturers. That's where our peer group or our competition we would identify as. So PDS's model, we are not in direct conflict with, as I understand.
And we don't supply to PDS as well?
No. We have zero overlap.
Okay, and one last question, sir, if I may. I mean, we have been talking about Vietnam, that it's giving us some competitive advantage in terms of our margin improvement. So if you could just help me understand a bit of our history in Vietnam and what is that we are getting from that country which is helping us improve in terms of the product mix that we are going to supply?
So Pearl acquired a company in Vietnam in the year of 2016-17, I guess. So that company is the manufacturing setup that we had. So in 2019-20, as I was talking about earlier, like when we formulated our strategy, so we looked at the strengths that Vietnam has or weaknesses that Vietnam would have. After doing that SWOT analysis, like the kind of customers that we would go after, the kind of product that we would go after, the kind of price points, the client servicing, everything, the whole combination that we had worked after. So that is, at this point of time, giving us the advantage. So we have now a certain steady customer base that we have developed, where we are working very closely to supply them the product, which are of higher value and higher technical advantage, which is may not be there in the other regions of our production manufacturing as of now. So that strategy has played out well, and we are seeing the benefit in this year.
And if I may just add on this, you know, to your earlier question of the previous financial year not showing any, showing a very low single-digit margins, it's largely because all this investment which has been done, whether it's Vietnam specifically and within India also, they were not yielding that higher result. One of the reasons was the customer mix and product mix, and that's where the strategy which was framed, what Pallav just mentioned in the year 1920, has to really diversify the customer mix, understanding the capabilities which Vietnam as a factory, as a country, is doing otherwise and capable of doing it, and then targeting those customers, those product mix. I think those are something which are really now resulting into translating into the higher gross margin and getting reflected in books of account. The similar kind of a strategy is being, you know, we are working for India and Bangladesh and Israel, you know, in the long term. That's why we have mentioned in our call and in earlier calls as well, that for us the journey is toward a double digit margin. I think that transition will happen by developing all those strategy and, you know, implementing those strategies.
Right. And sir, what percent of our revenue comes from our own manufacturing and what is outsourced?
Majorly it is our own manufacturing. Certain countries like, you know, Vietnam and Bangladesh are a mature market where we have dedicated capacities in other facilities which are not 100% owned by us. So that, but we manage that. Our raw material is always us. The whole management of the production lines would be us. But the capex would be somebody else's. So that's the kind of model which is much more matured in those markets. In India also, we do some of that, but the market is not as matured as the other two countries. So, but these are the three places that we are taking such advantages. In terms of percentages, I would say overall percentage, I think not more than 15 to 20%, maybe like at most, where we are using the facilities which are not 100% of ours.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on an excellent set of numbers. The first question is in the gross margin, which the previous participant also mentioned. I know we have been trying to add value-added products, but if you see the gross margin trajectory of the company, it was actually higher pre-COVID at 50-52%. It came down to 45%. Even the last two quarters was 45. So is it that only for this particular quarter we had got a sizable difference in the kind of product mix which has aided, because this was not visible at least in the previous quarters?
So the product mix, you know, is quarter on quarter will be comparable because every season has different product and the style to cater to. So normally our comparison on ongoing basis will be year on year, not really sequentially quarter. So whatever product mix we have achieved and which we have serviced to our customer across geographies, that product mix will continue in the same quarter of the next financial year. So there is a bit of stability, you know, in terms of the product mix which has already been achieved. Having said that, we all know global economic environment, how they are shaping up. All this, I think when the environment gets stabilized, there is always a scope for more improvement.
Right, right. So we should, one should not interpolate basically the 53.5 because, so there's a sizable increase even versus last year, the same quarter, 45 going to 53. So that is what you're calling out as being the product mix improvement, but it is not necessary the next quarter will also show a similar kind of thing. It's just a one quarter.
Yes, you're right. See, this quarter, as I mentioned, there are three factors. One is product mix. Second is a operational improvement in Bangladesh operation, existing factory, and also the new factory which we commercialized last financial year, which is Food and Fashion Limited. This factory was last year break-even because it was the first year of operation. This year, it is also generating a return on capital employed between 15 to 20%, as we mentioned in our previous calls as well. And Alpha also has helped. So overall, this quarter is bolstered with all these three factors. Coming quarters, which is quarter four, we mentioned that because of slowdown in the order book, there may be margin pressure. And so quarter three margin may not be really something we can look in quarter four because of the macroeconomic environment. I think this is an industry-wide phenomenon, not really specific to Pearl as such.
Right. And if you could quantify how much is Alpha because it's first.
I think we company by company, we will not refrain, but yeah, we can have a specific discussion later on if there is some clarification required on that part. Hello?
Mr. Pulkit Singhal, does that answer your question? As there is no response from the participant, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Ritesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and congratulations on the quarter. So just wanted to understand, is the slowdown which you are seeing, is it, you think, because of excess inventory which your retailers and your customers were actually holding, or do you think it's because of an anticipation of a slowdown and a recession happening in you know, America?
I think the inventory issue that most of the retailers had would be covered up in this current fall booking, the fall of 23. That means the goods that the retailers would be selling in the month of August to December. And I think those orders have been already either placed or being placed. So this would take care of. So this is the time, like I think if you go back last year, most of these retailers have some excess order that they had booked, either they had cancelled or they had held, or they are holding it in US itself. So I think this is the season where I would say that most of this inventory correction would be over. So this fall, shipping normally happens in I would say, in India would be our Q4 or Q1. End of Q4 and beginning of Q1, that's the kind of period that these goods are shipped out. And generally, the market is definitely very cautious at this point of time. Most of the retailers are buying anywhere between 10 to 20% less. They are keeping some budgets open to chase into or basically to fast forward some goods if required, if the sales are better. So that cautious approach is there in the market at this point of time. So that would continue to put the pressure in terms of excess capacity in manufacturing, and the margins would always get a little compressed. So that's the kind of, you know, outlook, if you ask me, that's the kind of outlook will still be prevailing for the next couple of quarters in the industry in general. Of course, there will be specific, certain customers might be exceptions. Some customers I can see that have better management of inventory as of now, so they have already done away with the inventories, excess inventory.
So yeah, it would depend customer to customer, but in general, if you are to speak, then this is what the scenario would be.
Got it. So as we are looking to actually a Q4 and into early next year, where we already have a reasonable amount of visibility, given the order books will already be there, what are the kind of expectation we have? Is it just a slowdown in the rate of growth, or do we potentially expect to kind of, actually, I mean, degrow slightly as well?
So how we see it as of now is, whatever the worst that would happen, I think we have seen that. I don't think it will go down any further, but it will, as of now, what we are seeing is that it's not going up. The business volumes or the numbers that each of these retailers are buying, they're not bullish as of yet. So they are, as I said, they're still budgeting in a manner that they would be buying 10%-15% less or 20% less, and keep that money open to react after seeing the sales. So that means, like, you know, when we talk about last year, like when things were coming into a standstill and we are going into that U kind of curve. So I think at this point of time, I would say we are at the bottom of that U curve. Like, when it starts going up is yet to be seen. That's the kind of outlook that I would present.
Got it. That's helpful, sir.
Just to add on that, specific to your point, on quarter, on year-on-year basis, on the top line, there may be marginal decline, but we are working hard to make sure that our bottom line is preserved and show some improvement.
So yeah, so if you see the general industry climate, or weather that I spoke about, so our strategy would be to mitigate those. So that means, like, if we are at the bottom, at this point of time, that means, the world over have got more capacity and less business at this point of time. So which means more competition, more margin pressure. The strategy would be to make sure that, you know, the kind of customer base that we have, how we work with them, so that our capacities are full, our order books are full, and which are the customers that we should be going after, what kind of product mix that we should be going after, which would give us a slightly better margin. So those are the kind of strategy that we will be continuing to implement, so that, you know, we remain on our promise and our objectives that we have shared with all of you.
Good. And the other question was this, typically, of course, we are hearing this across the street about this potential slowdown in retailers. Is that also leading to any impact on your negotiating, actually, power with your customers, and in turn, the gross margins you would expect to make?
The gross margin, as I said, like, you see, when the market slows down, definitely the raw material also come under pressure. So what the raw material prices were about 7-8 months back, compared to that, definitely that would ease off. But at the same time, as I said, being more manufacturing capacity at this point of time in the market, so the retailers would have a better negotiation power with the manufacturers. So that should not vary to a big extent, but, you know, that depends on what kind of customer base you have, what kind of customer relationship you have, how much of diversification you have in your strategy for a company to company. So that's something will play at this point of time. As I said, like, being Pearl, being present in, you know, in three of the big supply chains, let's say two at this point of time. So with that, at least we have that visibility and we can play that. Of course, Bangladesh, Vietnam, these are the big markets at this point of time, as China is getting some kind of, you know, effect, geopolitical effect of slowdown. The business is migrating from China and that's coming into all the other countries. The biggest beneficiaries have been Bangladesh and Vietnam, and followed by Indonesia and India for us. So that I think will continue to play. So that will continue to give us the visibility, what kind of margins, what kind of, you know, big players are, as I said, like our global competitors, how they are strategizing. So we are in, I would say, close observation, close contact, or whatever you call it. And we will continue to formulate our strategies so that we can mitigate this kind of risk for our company.
Got it. So understood. So thank you, Anik, and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj from Archer Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to know how would your FY24 sales and everything would look like, given the commentary you have given.
So, as I said, like, there is a macro factor which would be slow at this point of time, market. Keeping that in mind, the strategy that we formulated, the kind of customers that we would be going into, so like a whole mix across the globe, not only on one or two market only. It has to be much more diversified. Even in the market, there are various kind of customers. There are large format retailers. There are specialty brands. There are national brands. So we would be continuing to hedge our risks. We would go to that. You know, talking about very specifics in a particular market, when this kind of fluctuation happens, there are certain, maybe sometimes the national brands do well, sometimes the private brands of the large format retailers do well. So depending on that mix, much detailed more mix of brands that we would be manufacturing for quarter by quarter, season by season. So we will, you know, move those, our blocks so that, you know, our goal is maintained. So that's something that we'll continue to work and very closely with all these markets. So that's why, like I told you, like the advantages that we have, we are in the various manufacturing hubs, as well as we are very close to the market, to the customers, being office and regular interaction with them in the same cities also helps us. So those are things that we continue to have in Pearl, so that we take the advantage of this moving dynamic situation in the market.
All right. So looking at FY24, I think your sales would be more or less the same, right? Approximately.
As of now, it looks like that maybe because the growth that the trajectory that we had in the last year, that may not be there, that kind of, definitely not 80%, but the kind of goal that we are working on, about 20-25% growth every year on year. So let's see, like, you know, how much will be there. It's difficult to predict at this point of time. But at the same time, we don't see a big decline as well.
All right. Understood. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Agarwal from Gems Quest. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir, and congratulations on great set of numbers. My question is in relation with the earlier participant. I mean, just to continue, I understand we've faced worst of the times in last 6-8 months for the whole textile sector as a whole. So I just wanted to ask, is the order momentum or say the inquiries that we had 3 to 4 months back, have they improved or are we seeing any improvement in the order inquiry or order book as of now, as we stand today? And second part of the question is this environment, will this help us in taking away market share from some of the smaller players? I believe they are struggling to even survive in these times.
Yes, the first part of the question that you had is the scenario getting any different? Yes, definitely 4-5 months back, most of the retailers were struggling with the inventory. So that I think is tapering off now. So they are seeing some of the products which are in higher demand and they are planning to book those or giving those orders at this point of time. So that's definitely happening. To that extent, as I said, like, you know, the normal buying power that each of these retailers would have under normal circumstances, I see it still average, I would say, about 10% low. Some retailers who had bigger inventory problems maybe at 20%, the others who had controlled inventory, maybe they're already at their normal level. So that's happening. The second part of the question is what's happening to the industry across the globe? See, there are a lot of geopolitics and macroeconomic factors are playing all around. The big hubs like Pakistan is undergoing some kind of problem at this point of time. Sri Lanka, we had that problem earlier. Now, these are also garment manufacturing hubs. If you look at Bangladesh, also there are much better controlled, I would say, as an economy, but still the gas prices are almost more than 100% up, the petroleum and gas and energy costs are going up. So those kind of fluctuations would be there. Pakistan and Sri Lanka had very difficult time to manage it. Bangladesh is managing it better. The other countries which might get affected, the smaller countries where our kind of industry is there. So that dynamic will always continue to play. And even the players, the zombies, as you call it, financially, like who have been existing because of the monetary situation of globe over the last 10 to 15 years, they would definitely be having a difficult time. Some of them will go out of the business. So those kind of dynamics will continue to play because it's not a smooth water as of now. The water is still choppy. The weather is still not a perfect. So, yeah, in those times, there will be definitely these defaulters who would be there. So that will continue to happen, and I think the stable companies, the better managed companies, which better disciplines will gain market share in that. That's the general statement,
sure.
I would say.
Sure, I hope that thank you. That answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Chheda from Seven Islands PMS.
Congrats for great numbers. Can I get the over?
Your voice is sounding muffled. Can you please check? Mr. Chheda, can you hear us?
Is it right?
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Congrats for the great numbers. So I want just one question. What is the overall capacity utilization for all the plants across the world, all the 8 plants?
See, we have annual capacity of 80 million plus pieces. We are at, you know, right now 9 months, 40 million pieces. Last year we did 55 million pieces of goods. So we have capacity in terms of to really scaling capacity is really humongous, you know, is huge in that sense. So there is a lot of opportunity for us to scale up. I think the top line, we can easily grow, as Pallav mentioned, at a 20% for the next 3 years within the existing capacity also. At the same time, we keep looking for an opportunity to really see wherever we have more brownfield project, we'll definitely keep on looking to add the capacity because we see in the long term, we are very positive on this growth coming back to the sector. And we'll see that, you know, once this macroeconomic headwinds are over, the tailwind will start coming in this industry.
So we can get the percentage of capacity utilization, like, of the...
So, Bhavya, like, you know, as we mentioned, like, you know, we have our in-house factories and we have certain capacities where our direct investment on the capex is low. So that gives us that flexibility. So today, if we look at all the factories or the units that we are engaged in, that gives this number, which Sanjay just mentioned, like which would be almost about anywhere between 75 to 80 million units. But compared to that, like, you know, if we talk of today, like after 3 quarters, we have done about 40 million units. So that gives a long runway. So now some of these, what happens in our industry, like if we have one part is that the factory capacity and everything is there, then how much machines that you are engaging, and if required, you can buy, because those kind of investments are low. And also the infrastructure is existing, but that, you know, that kind of manpower and the machines we are not utilizing. So that's the kind of flexibility that you're working with. Yes, if you're talking specifically of our 100% owned factories, their utilization would be much, much higher. That has to be. And that's the strategy that we always play along.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the answer. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sorry, last time it got disconnected. You know, you mentioned about the worst of inventory correction having already taken place. Now that has happened over the last 2 quarters, and during the inventory correction phase, obviously the retailer demand would have been worse off, maybe 30-40% decline. And at that point, you have grown 26% in 2Q and now 2% odd in 3Q. So now that inventory correction is behind, and even if the market is stabilizing, retailer demand is surely higher than what it was 2 quarters ago. Therefore, why is there still a cautiousness? Shouldn't your revenue growth accelerate, therefore?
As I mentioned, most of these retailers are also not buying. The large format retailers are being cautious at this point of time. So they are buying about 20% less, anywhere between 0 to 20% less, I would say. The people who have got better inventory are still going ahead and buying. The other ones who are yet to clear it off in this fall holiday season. So they are getting still, cautious. Overall also, if I look at every retailer, they are not going plus at this point of time. They would keep it minus and then keep open, money open to chase into or take a last minute decision or react to the market conditions. So which means that the initial booking that we get as manufacturers would be little less as a whole. Of course, depending on what strategy, what positioning of we are with a particular customer, maybe we will still be gaining market share compared to year over year. But generally, that's the market condition. So in this market condition, it would be not prudent to be upbeat for us to say that, now that things are over and we will be growing. So we have to cautiously watch how this market condition evolves. We are, certain advantages that we have, being closely working with these designs of designing those products, gives us the ability also to really join hand with them for this quick reaction at a later time. So those kind of advantages we will have, but this is not where already everything has happened. These are things which are all in motion at this point of time.
Correct.
That's why it's better to be cautious.
Yes. No, fair point. I'm just trying to understand, if I were to ask you the same question 6 months ago and you did talk about it, that time the retailer demand would have been 30-40% lower than what it was earlier, right?
Yeah.
And now it's 20%
lower. Large format retailers, yeah.
And now it's 0 to 20% lower. So
yeah.
On a sequential basis, their demand is therefore improving. On a YY, they still decline. I get that. But sequentially, their demand is improved from what it was 6 months ago.
Yes.
Okay. And secondly, I know there's a lot of work that has gone on improving operational efficiencies at various plants. As investors, it's very hard to figure that out from the financial numbers reported, because the entire work seems to be, suggestive of product mix improvement. So how do we understand, because operational efficiencies should figure below gross margin line. That is my understanding. They are not really typically at the gross margin line. So how do we understand, either numerically or otherwise, how that operational efficiency, what is the things that you've done that has, or where does that figure in your financials?
Could you please repeat specifically? Sorry, if we couldn't understand your question.
My limited point was that you obviously worked on improving operational efficiencies in all your plants. As investors, we look at that as a leverage that you see below the gross margin line, that is at the operating cost line, right? We assume that any improvement at gross margin line is typically to do with product mix or pricing related decisions and not operational efficiencies. So when you're calling out operational efficiencies, how do we see that in your numbers?
So the operational efficiency, you would see that, the manufacturing cost improvement, you see the gross margin improvement. What happened in the gross margin is also a combination of the wastages which are done at various processes, the fabric which is getting utilized as per the design specification which is supposed to be handled, the efficiency in terms of the procurement of the fabric, the efficiency in terms of the logistics of the fabric reaching to the various factory, the efficiency in terms of the production cut date, so all efficiency in terms of the cut to ship, cut to order. So there are multiple various factors which are there, which has get reflected in the gross margin. Now these parameters are specifically to the factory performance parameter. That is why one of the questions which was there, whether this operational efficiency is sustainable, my answer was that, whatever operational efficiency has been brought in those factories, they will either continue to at that level or only improve from there on, because we can't have this, once we identify the issue, address it, I think it will stay there or it will improve there on.
So all this factor will lead to an improvement in those gross margin only. The second part could be that overhead productivity within the same overhead, within the same asset term, you know, you're able to generate a higher turnover. So that really get leverage start happening from them as a percentage of the sales. If you see, you know, one of the percentage of the sale of the depreciation is down from 2% to 1.6%. So our asset turn has also improved significantly. So number of, you know, that also is one of the thing which can be reflected and seen from there, which means with the existing whatever feature set we have, we are able to generate either a better product, higher FOB volume, because the sales volume remaining the same. What we are saying is that the realization per piece is going high, which means the higher product is getting produced with the same manpower, giving a little bit better training to them, and the equipment with slight modification or addition of the equipment, you are able to generate that. So all this will get reflected in the multiple, you know, metrics. There is no one metrics which will have capturing this efficiencies.
No, understand. I think that's a fair point. I mean, with despite volume decline, in fact, on a 9-month basis, you're growing margins. I mean, that volume decline would have ideally caused a margin impact as well. I mean, at a operating cost level also. I also understood that the gross margin has various operational efficiencies. But would you say that has the large chunk of that operational efficiency is at the gross margin line that is reflected in Q3? Or would you say that has been, you know, it has been reflected even in the previous two quarters?
Yeah, so as I mentioned that Vietnam continued to show the improvement in all the quarters, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three. That has been consistently, you know, which they have demonstrated and achieved in the last three quarters. So I think they have reached a stage of improvement from there on only, or the stability in terms of that. Bangladesh has shown large improvement in quarter three, the new factory which is here, Prudent Fashion, which got commercialized last year. I think quarter three has shown a substantial improvement in their efficiency. And also the new factory which we got integrated is also at the similar level of efficiency which we normally would like to have our old factories operating at.
Okay, that is great. Lastly, this Alpha acquisition, if you could just share, because this is the first quarter of, you know, the integration in the numbers. I mean, what is the kind of contribution or let's say annual sales this facility can do and what kind of margins it operates? Is it a substantial number to kind of move the needle, or I'm just trying to get a sense of this new acquisition contribution?
Yeah, so I mean, while I was answering your earlier question that, you know, entity by entity, I think we will not be able to give the number. However, just to give you an idea, we mentioned while filing the declaration regarding the acquisition of Alpha that it has a potential of generating $20 to $25 million on annual basis. And in terms of the return on capital employed, we did mention that we are targeting anywhere between 15% to 20%. Happy to say that we will be reaching that return on capital employed in the first year of integration itself. And I think it will continue in that manner only because it is already operating for so many years and the CEO continued to operate the company factory the way it was operating earlier. So we will see that, you know, sustainable improvement coming in from there on only.
Understood. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sameer Rathi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations to the management for excellent set of numbers. During this presentation, what I can see is that we are talking about a lot about the achievements made by Vietnam and Bangladesh, wherein they are contributing a lot to our business. Our majority of Indian operations are in India as well. Are the Indian operations not contributed to an extent which they should? Number two, the government also launched the PLI scheme, for which I feel Pearl also participated in it. What exactly has been the status? Are we really benefiting from that particular PLI scheme? Number three, the third question would be that we see a lot of inflation in Bangladesh, and the report suggests that in days to come, the inflation is going to become higher and higher. So are we seeing some kind of a salary pressures which can basically dent the margins more from that place? These are the three things.
Thank you, Mr. Rathi.
good thoughts and good detailed questions you have got. So let me go one by one. This was what?
India contribution.
India contribution, yeah. So first is, let's say, what is the India's contribution to our numbers, total numbers? So it is around 35% that we have been maintaining over the period. So that will continue. In terms of the PLI schemes that Government of India has come in, so it is new investment. So that investment, once somebody makes that investment and ships more than 200 crores of goods from that new investment, then they start getting the PLI advantages. So which is still like, you know, a couple of years away, that direct benefit that will be coming in. In general, India is performing. Yes, India is performing, definitely. India is contributing to the growth of, to the profit of the company. But what we saw, like from quarter to quarter, the needle mover that we have in this particular quarter was coming from Vietnam and Bangladesh. So that's why we mentioned that, those two names more. And then what else? I think you talked about the Bangladesh inflation. Bangladesh, no. Yes, like you know, does have an inflation. Sorry?
Yeah, exactly.
So Bangladesh does have an inflation because of the petroleum prices and the energy has gone up. So which definitely gives an impact of at least about, I would say an average of 3%, at least 2.5 to 3% definitely the cost has gone up. But again, the dollar has depreciated there as well in terms of the exchange rate, if I talk about. So that compensates a little bit of it. There is a slight, there is a slight dent, maybe to the extent of some decimal point, less than 1%. So that's something like we have to gain over with the efficiencies that we are trying to achieve, both in terms of our utilization and the efficiency of manufacturing. So the market overall, if you look at the the markets, manufacturing markets, or the ecosystem that we have in Vietnam and Bangladesh is definitely much stronger than what we have in India as of now for this particular industry. That's why the numbers we generate, the textile, the garment industry of Vietnam and Bangladesh are all, both of them are 30 billion or more, compared to India, which is still around 15-16 billion, and India is so spread out. Whereas if you go to those two countries, like it's only two or three cities who is having all this turnover. So the ease of operation is would be definitely better because of the ecosystem which is already existing. So yes, there would be always this kind of pressure would be there. Bangladesh, there is a pressure at this point of time. So the people like who may not have strong disciplined approach in their business, this 3%, 2-3% increase would be definitely a big jolt. The people like who are not completely working on the dollar, like for example, like you know, if you are buying the fabric from outside and bringing it to Bangladesh and shipping it, so then your contribution is only 20% or 25%, like that you are actually the benefit that you can take of the dollar. But there are companies like who are doing 100% of raw material from Bangladesh and manufacturing and shipping. So they would have the complete 100% of that dollar advantage to them. So those kind of dynamics will play. So when we do a detailed strategy planning as a company, so we keep all these factors in mind so that we can mitigate our risk. So as I said, like, you know, when these conditions are fluctuating and the macro factors are not in favor of us, we have to be in fully detailed. We have to make those strategies very clearly so that we can maneuver through and continue with our promise and what we have to deliver. I hope I have answered all the three points.
Just a final what is like, because things across the globe, because as far as India is concerned, we understand that we are in kind of a purple patch wherein there will be a little bit of stability. But across the globe, there are things which may or may not be in our control. And that all the top management is sitting in India. What exactly are the steps which we are taking? I understand that the things are spread out in India, but being the leader and all the leaders which are sitting in India as well, the top management is sitting in India, should not we do enough to promote the business from India rather than looking, say, at places like Bangladesh, where you never know what today say 6 months back, what the Pakistan was, God knows what can happen to Bangladesh as well. The recent reports which are coming in are not really very painting a rosy picture about Bangladesh as well.
So this is already like now, see, what's happening is, first of all, like when you say that all the top leaders of world are sitting in India, so that's not a correct statement, I would say. Like the model that we have CEOs in each of the country. We have a very strong team in each of the location. And me, myself also is always traveling in all the locations and spending good amount of time with I would say, the contributor of the economy or the major players in each of these countries, may not be in our country, in our company. So that's something that we keep a very, very close ground, and that's the kind of strength that we as well as a company have been bringing onto the table. And we will continue to do that. In terms of what you are saying is that there are disturbances that happen in maybe a Sri Lanka or a Pakistan or Bangladesh might happen or any other country might happen. So same is in India also. Like if you look at it, when the business is coming out of China, what has happened in this last 2 or 3 years, the major portion of the business has been lapped in by two countries, which is Vietnam and Bangladesh. India could not do that. The kind of infrastructure for the industry and the ecosystem that we need for the industry, we are building it up. Definitely, current government is much more open, much more listening, but it will take a few more years. And we are completely glued to that. Whatever the opportunity where we can think that better return would be there from India. So this kind of investments will continue to happen in India as well. But at this point of time, like or 1 year back, the kind of investment that we did, because we knew very well, because those will give us the benefits in those countries. So that will continue to happen. We are very detailed in terms of when we are making our strategies and going into these markets. We will be going into other markets also in near future, and we will continue to get those benefits.
And just to add, you know, that's the advantage Pearl has. Pearl is present in 4 geographies. So every geography, including India, offer a potential to grow. So currently in India, we may be doing $120 million turnover, but the potential to grow is much higher. So we are looking at a strategy of, you know, setting up expansion under PLI scheme or expansion under existing unit in India as well. So, I mean, each geography itself can go and, you know, become a, you know, independent entity. You know, if you look at the size of our competitor, which is there in India, probably, you know, that's an opportunity we can have for each geography. And so as to say, India can reach that level, Bangladesh also can reach level, and so is Vietnam and Indonesia in that sense. So I think there is a multiple opportunity, leveraging opportunity for different product, different segment, which is available by being present in 4 geographies.
Thanks a lot for your detailed answer. Really very nice. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on good set of numbers. Sir, my question is on in relation to the Bangladesh units. Okay, so if I have to see the segmental segmental performance side, I think that the Bangladesh unit has been more or less consistent around 5-6% EBIT margins for the last 10 or 12 quarters, except for 1 or 2 quarters. So the major contributor for the current increase in margin is from Bangladesh unit. That is, it comes around 9.5-10% EBIT. So, sir, could you just quantify as to, say, the 4% improvement that has happened from 6% to 10%, can you say that, you know, could you quantify that, say, 1% is due to the product mix or 1% is due to the efficiency, you know, that has been brought by the company or due to acquisition? If you guys could just give me a ballpark number as to what attributed to that increase in EBIT.
I think that kind of, you know, we'll not be able to give that those details in terms of, you know, how much is coming from the FOB price increase, how much is coming from manufacturing efficiency and all that. So those, something is a metric, we track it, but we don't share it, you know, in that sense.
Okay, fine, sir. So, just to get the idea, so in the Bangladesh unit, can you at least let us know the power and gas cost, you know, as compared to the last quarter, because it is more or less stable, or have we seen some spike in that cost?
you're selling your power cost in Bangladesh, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Just supplying that. As I said earlier, so there is definitely at this point of time an inflation about more than a couple of percent. But at the same time, the dollar advantage does compensate that. So
okay.
The net impact is much less than 1% also.
Okay, so this is quarter on quarter, right? I mean, compared to last quarter, we have seen some spike.
I'm talking about, let's say, not quarter on quarter, but year on year. And also at the price of the unit, like which I'm selling to a customer.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Thank you, sir. That's all for my time. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. However, should you need any further clarification or would you like to know more about the company, please feel free to contact our team or SGA, our investor relation advisors. Thank you once again for taking this time to join us on the call.
Thank you.
On behalf of Pearl Global Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.